want to welcome everyone to this Brighteon edition of Take Five. We are spreading the good news from east to west, north to south, and I'm Janice White. Today for you, we have two interviews with two incredible investigative journalists that I know you're going to love. I had the privilege of interviewing Pete Santilli, who gave breaking news first on His Glory about the truth of January 6th. He talks about an important FBI whistleblower who has sought asylum in another country and an upcoming important trial where the truth of what happened on that day will come out. He gives glory to God for his dedication to his work and for exposing the truth. Our second interview is with Jordan Oliver, an investigative journalist, Michael Ray Corey, who exposed a matter of national security by releasing the Erickson Report. Now, they go deep into how our election data is being altered and how 6.5 billion people worldwide are being spied on every day. So we hope this knowledge blesses you. Stick around. We'll be back right after this.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the BiviStick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the BiviStick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 BiviSticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
So I want to welcome our guest for today, who is Pete Santilli, an amazing investigative journalist, internet broadcaster, and former Marine. Pete, welcome to His Glory, and thank you, sir, for your service to this great nation.
My goodness, thank you. It's really an honor, and you're thanking me. I found out that I had the opportunity to come on the show. I'm a big fan of your guys' show. I loved it, and I'm so honored to be here. So,
the honor is all ours. We are just so happy to have you on here, and we are a big fan of yours as well, sir. So I wanted to start off with just telling our viewers a little bit about your background, how you got into investigative journalism, and then we can certainly jump right into some of your amazing work and everything that you've been bringing to light here recently on your show.
Right out of the gates, because we're going to spend a little bit of time together. So there is a story, there is a path leading up to what I'm going to reveal at the end of this conversation. So if I were to do it reverse, this is probably I'm calling it what's going on right now in D.C., the trial of the century, and sounds pretty sensational. I know for a fact that by the time I get done here with this segment, you're going to recognize and you're going to want to tune in and watch what is about to happen, because I'm here as living proof that miracles do come despite what adversity I was ever subjected to as an investigative journalist. And he asked me, tell me about your investigative journalism. Well, for those people that don't know me, now let's go back in time and what led me to this moment that puts me at the center of the news that I'm actually, I was on the phone just right on the other side of the room before I came on with you, further advancing this miracle that's about to drop right now about January 6th.
Oh, yeah.
It's big. It's actually the biggest. You can't even imagine what I'm about to say. Just stay right there. It all began when I came from corporate America. It's a separate story. Great experience. I was in the Marine Corps, corporate America, and I went to work for Coca-Cola. Then I went on to become a small business owner. And then I discovered right about, right in the middle of the Obama administration that our nation was being taken over by communists and the mainstream media wasn't delivering the news. And I said, I got to do something here and I hope people will be receptive to it. So I said, hey, folks, and I'm suit and tie guy and I'm doing speaking engagements and all throughout Southern California. But I had a really good social media following. And I said, if you guys take on to this, we need to do something because Obama's just out of control. This is 2011. December 18th, 2011, I was the first listener when I pushed play on my show. And it went from there to, let's fast forward, covering all the stuff that we've been so curious about and trying to awaken everybody. And by the way, back then I was a rough and tumble United States Marine, Roman Catholic, episode number one. I was a sinning, cussing, drinking, but still a recovering Roman Catholic, we'll say, my whole life. So I had a spiritual upbringing, was close to God all on my own, but I wasn't the Christian man that I am right now. And I know what the difference is, of course. But as I started to progress, this is 2011, December 18, 2011. Early on, right at around 2012, I think it was early on, covering 9/11 news, just investigating stories that I was really curious about and sharing it with the world. But a lot of things started happening right around that time. And my voice, by the way, is very hoarse. And I don't normally these days here, the past couple of hours actually has taken a turn for the worse, so you're going to have to pardon me. But around 2012, I'm going to say right around Benghazi, Ukraine, all of that stuff, I started uncovering through my investigative journalism, my sourcing, some of the biggest stories that at the time, we didn't fully realize how big they were. But I went after Hillary Clinton because I have a friend in the Marine Corps that went to work with the CIA, and he was on the ground in Benghazi and came back and said that Benghazi was about Hillary Clinton and Obama and Petraeus selling arms to, delivering arms to the Syrian rebels. And I had evidence of this. And it was 400 tons of man pads, and they killed, obviously, as we know, through Benghazi. So I started exposing that. And our listenership just started exploding because it was pretty sensational, but it was true. And I had evidence. And then let's fast forward to 2014. Show was exploding. We were on radio and we were doing well. And Cliven Bundy, the rancher out in Nevada, his story came about and I knew nothing about cattle. And I'm like, and I told my producer, I said, I know nothing about cattle. Why are you going to bring this person on? I'm not a rancher. I'm from New York. I've never worn cowboy boots. Don't embarrass me. She said, trust me, it's bigger than cattle. So he came on April of 2014. These dates are important, and I'm going to go fast. At the end of that interview, what I found out and I learned through him through that one-hour interview, I hung up the phone. It was the first time I said, there is something here. And I said, this is the first time I think I'm going to do it. And I told my team, what do you guys think of me shutting down right now and going out in the field? I said, go out in the field. I said, I need to go out there. What he just said is sensational. If it's true, we need to take a stand out there. So I drove, and I was in Southern California. I drove out there. And again, another long story short, April 9th, the sun came up after driving overnight to get out there. And I met a beautiful Christian Mormon family, true Mormon. By the way, anybody has any criticism of Mormons? And, you know, I've heard all of it. But this is what I do know about this Christian family. They're the closest people I've ever met to God. They've been out there, their family, since 1856. And they had the federal government pointing guns at them and wanted to get them off the land. And we had a protest on April 12th of 2014, after it came to national prominence, to have the sheriff intervene, protect life, liberty, and property, and leave Nevada. And in fact, that protest, because of the coverage that I did, ended with the sheriff kicking the federal government out of Nevada. And it was a peaceful protest. Nobody died. But the only thing was, the government got really upset. When you really stop the government from doing what they're doing, this is in 2014, they were upset. Nobody did anything illegal. So they were investigating. You ready for that? And then I'm going to throw back to you. This is the shortest way to condense this. For 2 years, we were going. I met the Clive and Bundy family, the entire family. We had a successful event. It was a constitutional event. We gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord intervened, no doubt about it, to keep everybody safe. I really didn't fully realize what that meant at that time, but I still engaged with them. And I stayed connected, and they invited me to another protest for a rancher in 2016. It was actually 2015. December of 2015, Ammon Bundy, one of Clive and Bundy's sons, invited me to go out and protect another rancher in southeastern Oregon. Well, I had moved to Cincinnati. I drove to Oregon. I said, sure, we'll cover it. Let's call the sheriff out. Let's have a successful event and tell the government to stop. 1 month, we were there. They took over the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. For 1 month, I stayed there and covered those guys out there that had taken over in protest the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. And I provided coverage to millions of people. And at the end of that month, after James Comey's FBI went out there with military force, they shot and killed Lavoie Fenicom. And I was shocked by that, but I was just a talk show host. And I said, you guys need to stop shooting. What are you doing? And I hadn't heard that he was shot and killed. I said, I need to go up there. There's women and children up there. Stop your shooting and I'll go get them. And they said, Mr. Santilli, you're under arrest. I said, what for? Again, another long story short. I thought I was going to be released the day after. And they indicted me for conspiring to take over the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. And it was false. They made up a witness. They put me in shackles. I get taken away. And Jen, they held me for 619 days.
Wow.
Political prisoner. Now, what happened during that, I'm going to throw back to you. That's the beginning of my story. What happened throughout those 619 days is what I'm so proud, especially when I went to the tent revival. And I had such a beautiful experience. His glory had sponsored that. And I told what happened throughout that period. But I'm standing here. I faced 4 life sentences. Same thing like with the January 6th trial. No way of being released. And what happened during that 619 days was ultimately winning 2 federal trials. And I'm here. But I'm going to, you know, share with you, of course, through this segment, exactly how I got here and how that miracle came to me throughout that. I'm not bitter, by the way. So nobody should be saying, oh my goodness, that's terrible. I say, no, it's such a beautiful, glorious thing that happened. I learned so much. And I'm standing here before you, a much more, a wiser, godly man as a result. And it's what led me to what we're going to talk about in a little bit. But Jen, I'm so honored to be here and so honored to be talking to so many beautiful souls here that are tuned into his glory.
Well, that was an incredible testimony, first of all, Pete. And, you know, a credit to you for doing true journalism. And, you know, the reason that you were punished is because you were going after the truth. And they didn't want you to expose what was really going on, because, you know, we are totally in a information war here in America. And there is not a lot of true journalists who are willing to get out in the field and actually get you the truth of what is actually going on. And so you were a threat. And, you know, just you've overcome that and you're here and you continue to speak the truth. You know, they didn't shut you down. They didn't shut you up. And so you're a true American patriot. And, you know, that's an incredible story. Now, I want to backpedal just a bit because I have a couple questions. Mm-hmm. First of all, what was the reason that they were trying to kick them off the land? And then two, how incredible of a miracle that you ran into constitutional sheriffs that were willing to have your back. So I wanted to touch on that as well, and the importance of the position of the sheriff in these situations.
Yeah, for since 1856, you know, that the U.S. government encouraged families to go out west, and they had something called the Homestead Act, and they encouraged people. And, you know, the Mormons settled out west. They did. In 1856, Clive and Bundy's family settled. And you get water rights, you get 160 acres, and they just built, you know, they lived off the fat of the land. Well, that reversed course over time because somebody high up in the, you know, the upper echelon of our government said, holy cow, there's $160 trillion in natural resources wealth. We want that. So let's get all these cows and these really annoying people off the land. Clive and Bundy was the 52nd and the last one of 52 ranchers, 51 of them run off the land out west. And they wanted that land, and they did everything starting. They started on him in the mid-90s. And all of the ranchers, Southeastern Oregon, another rancher, there were 300,000 head of cattle out there. Well, the government came in, and they said, let's run these ranchers off, and let's extract the wealth out from underneath the land, and we'll pretend like we're protecting the environment. But in fact, what we'll do is we'll negotiate deals. Hillary Clinton actually took $140 million from Uranium One. I don't know if everyone remembers Uranium One. Well, I found out through my investigation out there in Southeastern Oregon, why are they going after these ranchers? And I reported on January 26th that Hillary Clinton took $160 million or $140 million from Uranium One. 10 hours later, I was in shackles. 10 hours later, they were shooting and killing people. And I wasn't relayed, so I exposed the truth. So the answer was, why did they go after the ranchers? Because of what we're experiencing right now. They just want to subvert our nation, take everything. They said, you know, you will own nothing, and you will love it. You will eat the bugs. And I say, you're telling me I will own nothing? And I'm saying, I translate that to, you will steal it. The second part of the question what was the second part? I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I get that right. Why did they want to get the ranchers off?
Yeah. You were talking about some of the miracles you had experienced. And in your story, I said, well, it's a miracle that you had some constitutional sheriffs willing to stand up against the federal government, which is a miracle in itself.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, every step along the way, I mean, nothing at no point in time. Regardless of me being a sinner, I'm not a lawbreaker. I never broke the law my entire life. So I'm all about getting law enforcement to stop, you know, the tyrants from pointing guns at unarmed people. So it was always about getting the sheriff to defend life, liberty, and property. And the federal government really doesn't have any jurisdiction when something like that takes place. The sheriff can intervene, and in fact did. And they didn't want the American people to know that. So that's why they came after me. With the full force of the government, they ended up spending $100 million to prosecute all of us, and they failed because the truth was on our side.
And so you won those cases?
Two federal trials, because we exposed, and the beautiful, you know, I want to share my story and how that miracle came, and it truly was. But everything that happened through the Bundy Ranch trials, I was blessed with, you know, I was forged in the fire. The true story. And it led me, my goodness, all due glory to him. It is his glory for everything that I'm going to brag about. I think he's forged me in the fire through those two trials, and he's prepared me for this moment that I'm going to announce here. I'm saying exclusive. I haven't even announced what I'm going to announce on my own show. Wait till you hear His miracle. It's coming.
So we have breaking news here on His Glory with Pete Santilli, breaking for the first time.
We do. I we'll go back to the situation back then. Two federal trials. Can you imagine going into Portland, Oregon for a trial and with a bunch of leftist communists, and you got 12 people in the jury box, and they're all, the government's lying, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is an impossible thing. Throughout that period that I was up there in Oregon, that was the first portion of my incarceration, was like 8 months or 9 months of the 619 days. By the way, I spent 7 months in solitary confinement. And somebody said, make good use of your time. Usually you need to read the scriptures. So I did. I started reading the Bible. And I was annoyed by that. I'd never read the Bible. It was gibberish, combing through the Bible. No disrespect. This is important. I got all the way reluctantly because I was a Marine, a hard-headed Marine. I had a bunch of free time on my hands. And it wasn't until Matthew, I got to Matthew, story of the parables, and literally went from agitation, but discipline, godliness. I couldn't understand it, but I set out to do this and I'm going to do it. And all of a sudden, the words I was reading came to almost 3D holographic understanding. And I wasn't ready until that moment. I'm telling you this right now. I started understanding everything. And the stories were stories. And I got down on my knees, and because I understood, I always referred to the Bible as a historical document. And I said, no, this is the word of God. And I said, Lord, I wasn't ready. I was not ready. And I'm ready now. And I would have never been this ready if it wasn't for your blessing of keeping me in jail here where I'm at. 7 months of not being on the internet, you know. And I said, I would have never done this. And I thank you. And I got down on my knees and I said, you know, please forgive me. Always forgive me. I now understand and I'm confessing my sins. I said, but most importantly, one of the biggest mistakes I made, and you know, in so many words, I convey this to him. I, you know, every time I'm in trouble, I ask you for help. And I said, Lord, I mean this so sincerely. I accept your will. I said, if you say I'm supposed to be here forever, I'll accept it and I'll do your work. I said, these are good people. There's people around me. They need my help. These are not strong people. A lot of them, you know, they were on drugs, and I've made some good friends here and reading the Bible with them, and I'm praying with them through the hole in the, you know, in the door. I said, I accept your will. I said, but I got a special request, Lord. That'd be a waste of talent if you let me out. I really appreciate it. I could do really good work. I did say this. Almost laughed like you are inside. I did, and I knew he was. I said, but I promise you, Lord, this is impossible to get out of here. I'm in solitary confinement. And I said, and I know that you're real. You're here. And I believe you. And I have been forged in the fire here. And if you work your miracle, I'm going to use that as a testament to you being real. And I promise you that I will tell everybody when I walk out this door. And I will give you all the glory that your miracle came and I'm present here before everybody because of you. And I'm right here, right now. I get choked up. You know why I get choked up? Because I have to go back to that moment when I said that. It were such tears of joy. It really was. I mean, I wasn't yet reborn per se. But I knew what was happening. You know, all of our surroundings, life is tough. Everything's evil. Rinse and repeat. Lord, get me out of this. And you know what I mean? Go to church, confess your sins. And it was just all mechanical. Mm-hmm. I said, I fully understand. I fully understand that I wasn't even ready to receive the word of God. And I said, this is the word of God. And some people are just not ready to receive it, but I am. And it's taken me this long, and I apologize, but you know what? I have free will and I've learned my way through this and I accept you so wholeheartedly and freely. You've never forced your ideas upon me, Lord. And I accept you into my life forever. Amen.
Pete, I just got chills when you were telling your testimony there. That is truly a amazing. And that was your wilderness period. That's where you, that's how God got your attention. It was all meant to happen for that reason, because he was going to use you. I always say he's using all these people, the remnant in his army, you know, the army of God right now, people, voices like yours speaking out against tyranny and against flat out evil. And he needed to get your attention, because otherwise you wouldn't have been that engaged with the Bible. And what he granted you was one of the gifts of the Spirit, which is the spirit of discernment and being able to understand what you were reading in the Bible and to internalize that. But also the obedience part is so important as well, you know, to be obedient to God and to hear him. And
the world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
I am Jordan Oliver, here today with investigative journalist Michael Ray Corey, who is working on the Erickson Report, which is a matter of national security. And we're going to have a lot to talk to Michael about in just a couple minutes. But first, let me start off with just a few brief announcements for us. The first concerning the Reawaken America Tour, which will be in Nashville, Tennessee this week. It's only a few days away, everybody. It is kicking off on the 20th and will go into the 21st. And our baptisms will be on Friday, January the 20th from 6 to 7 p.m. And you can sign up for the baptisms. We have a link on the His Glory social media sites. So make sure you register. I will be there. I cannot wait to see you all there. Now, for the main event itself, you can get your tickets at timetofreeamerica.com. That's timetofreeamerica.com. And make sure to go ahead and check out some of our past interviews from the His Glory Green Room under past shows on the His Glory website. You can also find them on our app under His Glory on the Road. Make sure also that you head on over to the website if you are looking for some new His Glory gear. In our shop, we have new fleeces, bomber jackets, beanies, hoodies, and more. And you can also order Kingdom Fuel as well. For orders of $100 or more, you will get free shipping. Head on over to hisglory.me/shop. All right, that is it for our announcements. Let's get into the good stuff, everybody. And today, this is going to be an awesome interview. I am joined, as I said, by Michael Corey, who is going to dive into something called the Erickson Report. And for anybody who doesn't know, Ericsson is a cell phone company. And so Michael has a lot of intel on this for us. And Michael, welcome on to Take Five. Cannot wait to hear all the information that you have to share.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really blessed to be here, and I couldn't appreciate it more. Thank you for having me on. It's a pretty in-depth report. What we've tried to do is actually work with different iterations of it to try to make it a little bit more less dense, basically. It's pretty deep, and it's a rabbit hole that seems to never end. But it's exciting, and it's fun to know that we actually have an opportunity to take back not only our republic, but the communications that currently are thwarting and disabling our ability to live freely and operate with under free and fair elections. So yes. It's quite the story.
First, Michael, before we get into all the facts and details of this, how did you find out about this? How were you awakened to this, and what inspired you, I guess, because this takes not only it's, I can't even imagine the time, but the courage. As we were just talking before going live here, everyone, Michael was saying how last night a lot was going on, and I'm sure it always has been to try and stop this information from getting out. So I'm just wondering how you first got into all of this.
So it actually dates back to my, 9/11, really, is when, my world was rocked, because I was born in Lebanon. My family moved to escape the war, but born and raised obviously here in America, but would always travel back to Lebanon in the summer. And during the summer times, we would spend a lot with our neighbors. A lot of our neighbors over there, very multicultural, very multi-religious. So there were several, Muslim neighbors, several Jewish neighbors, and several Christian, Maronite, Catholic, Orthodox. So it's just different, a whole bag of different religions. And so when we came back together in the summers after September 2001, we kind of came to this weird conclusion of like, this is not what any of our scriptures or what any of our Bible, Torah, Quran, Hadith, none of those seem to align at all with what we just saw took place. And so we were very confused and in a lot of ways like lost by the fact that how could such an amount of evil have taken place, and it couldn't be people like us, people of Arab speaking, Middle Eastern descent. So we're pretty confused by that. But what that did is really light a fire in me to want to know what happened on that day. And what happened was I eventually moved into mortgages, did mortgage securities, and along with mortgage loan portability, which has to do with the leads that are dialing in and out at the mortgage company. And so I worked within the IT section of it. And what they did was they gave me too much access, because what I had done was saved them about $53 million a year over year, because I figured out that they were just making the leads only go to the bankers that were top tier bankers. Well, they would leave around 2 or 3 o'clock, and then those leads would never get served up to anyone else because they were basically privileged leads. So they would go to waste. And so when I brought that up and brought it to account, they gave me all this access. And once you give a curious guy like me access, I'm going to pretty much look into everything. And what I found was a little less than pleasing. And I'd realized that, this system is actually built completely off the backs and off the tax dollars of the completely, not by the rich. The rich don't pay taxes. And it's completely by, the people at the bottom. And I just couldn't. I got into a board meeting. I was the first banker to present there, and I just could not live with myself knowing that the money that I was making was off the backs of the American people, and that it was really just highway robbery. So I collected as much information and data as I could while I was there, but that took me obviously back to Lebanon for a little bit. And what I'd noticed was Ericsson cell phones and Nokia cell phones were just being given out to everybody. So I kind of thought like, wait a minute. Why is this happening? Like, my uncle would have like two or three of them,
and in Lebanon. Like, this was in Lebanon. Yeah. They were being given. Okay.
Yeah. And so he would be using like two or three different phones. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, why do you have so many phones? But that was just like, these are just little moments, right? That triggered like later on in life where I thought, okay, here comes this Ericsson company. I'm hearing about all this fraud in Lebanon. And then the Durham report hits. So I'm already looking into John Durham. I've already been, you know, looking into his son, John Durham Jr., who still currently runs the largest federal task force in the United States called Task Force Falcon. And what that did was it opened my eyes to like, oh my goodness, John Durham was highlighting actually this Ericsson deal. He was not, you know, he wasn't trying to get Sussman caught up. He was just trying to get this information extracted and put into a court of law. And the reason for that happens to be because Michael Sussman was representing Twitter against the FBI, against Eric Holder, and against the DOJ and Loretta Lynch back in 2014. And at that same exact time, he's actually also representing Rodney Jaffe, Neustar, and this Numbers Portability Administration Center. So I know that seems a little complicated, but that contract is so important. Because what it is basically the gateway to all of our data and all of our information via your cell phone number, as well as your DNS and internet connection. So we, under Obama, not we, but the FCC under Obama decided to give that contract to this foreign Swedish telecommunications company. And when you think about it from a Freedom of Information Act perspective, when you give that contract to a foreign company that doesn't have allegiance to this country, and it's a non-government contract, there's no way to have any oversight. So pretty bad once you get to the consideration of when you read through the Ericsson report, what you see is that not only did our government know, but you had the SEC that was well aware, you had the IRS that was well aware, wrote several letters to Ericsson and said, hey, specifically, you're doing business with terrorist-sponsored nations, and you're not documenting it, and this is a problem. Well, the State Department and Hillary Clinton decided that it would be a good idea to have Ericsson pay her husband and the Clinton Foundation $750,000 for a speech in Hong Kong, China. And after that speech, 5 days later, she comes out with the Treasury Department, Timothy Geithner, and they announce that they're not going to put any sanctions on any sort of telecommunications companies. They're going to allow specifically companies like Ericsson to police themselves. So, of course, the Clintons end up in the, you know, in this story. But the reason why it's so important and imperative is because right when the Durham probe started, and I noticed that Neustar was overlapping with Ericsson, what I saw was, holy cow, Neustar or Ericsson just released in February of 2022 the fact that they've been sponsoring, bribing, and funding ISIS for a period of over 17 years. And this was 3 days before the Ukraine war broke out. So, yeah, it's a pretty
gosh, Michael, story. I'm just trying to connect all these dots because you hear like pieces. I know bits and pieces about like each of these things that have come out, but the way that you put this all together this way, I mean, whew, yeah, this is really something. And
yeah, it's wild because what it really entails is our election data and our election infrastructure. And all that was transferred on January the 6th of 2017. Obama basically gives away oversight of the internet. And so what that means is the reason why you're not able to actually verify or deny any of the claims of Russian interference is because we removed government oversight. And so now you've removed the oversight for the complete internet as a whole. You've given away that critical infrastructure. And then if you wanted to be able to check it, you can't because it's a private company that runs it called ICANN now. And then also another company called VeriSign. All these companies end up donating to the Clinton Foundation. And so it just happens to be a fancy coincidence. Not really. But what ends up happening, right, is that Neustar comes in and they spy on the president. So they spy on Donald Trump and they spy on his data. And so
what you say, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Michael, but for Neustar, can you just remind me what that is? I forgot what you said Neustar was.
So Neustar is basically a domain name service company. Okay. And what they're created out of Lockheed Martin, very similar to Telcordia and Ericsson, in that they handle the ebbs and flows of the traffic of not only the internet, but also phones. And because a lot of phones, like right now, what we're talking over is considered voice over internet protocol. So we're having a conversation, and although, you know, it's over the internet, if we were having the same conversation over the cell phones, it would ping off of the towers. But there's a way to basically do the same thing and mirror it. I'm getting way too complicated, but
No. This is interesting. This actually kind of makes sense.
Right. And so, so the data, you know, once Benghazi had happened and once all the criminality was basically gotten to be too rife, Obama moves all of the data out of the NSA. So essentially everyone thinks that Snowden and the Snowden leaks were a good thing. They were probably the worst thing for this country, because what happened was the CIA was really in a proxy war with the NSA. And so the NSA is your receipts and your accountability, right? So if you're running black operations or you're running signals intelligence without wanting to have any oversight, then you would want to get rid of the NSA as best you could. And so that's really what the Snowden revelations were intended to do. And that's what they did. But what's crazy is a lot of that already took place with Obama around 2012, before Snowden had even revealed those leaks. Hmm. So one thing Snowden did not reveal was Neustar. And so Neustar is the trusted third party, non-government corporation that basically circumvents the Constitution and our constitutional rights for the Fourth Amendment, right? So to prevent search and seizure. So it's called the trusted third party doctrine of the Fourth Amendment. And so Obama really put this thing into you know, full gear by moving all the American records to Neustar. At the same time, you have Admiral Rogers being promoted right during all this chaos. So what Admiral Rogers does is he shuts off the upstream access, and that cuts off the outside contractors from being able to utilize the data. So the story gets pretty crazy, but that's why they did this whole Mueller cover up. It was to ensure that they could continue switching over the Neustar system. So if you could imagine, Neustar and ICANN are like the phone book for the internet.
Okay.
And they also are not just the phone book, but the keys. So without having control or oversight of those companies, that's why you see what you saw happen with my account, and why what you saw happen with the Roger Stone interview with me, where in real time my interview was removed from the internet. And so people are wondering, well, who's doing that? You know, the same people that control the internet. And so it's a pretty wild story, but the beauty of it is that it's going to reveal through Michael Sussman in 2014's Twitter files, which we're working on trying to get. What it'll reveal is actually the impropriety of taking our tax paid for domain name server infrastructure and moving it to China, and also moving it offshore. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah. It reveals just about everything that you would want to be revealed. It goes all the way back to 9/11. And that was the day that they switched over the tower and infrastructure. And people aren't fully aware of what really took place on that day, but we're going to do our best to make sure that they understand that very terrible, not a good thing that happened, obviously.
Well, Michael, is 5G a part of all? What's the connection with 5G within this plan?
So Huawei and Ericsson have had a patent sharing agreement since 2000. So if you are giving our full spectrum data access, because basically the number portability is like at the point where when you need to call out to 911, they have to handle that. So Ericsson's the one who's porting your number over between the cell phone and getting you over to 911 or to, let's say, the police or the sheriff or EMS. Okay. They're the ones who control that process. So if they control that process
across the whole country, for the whole country,
not just the whole country, this is between Ericsson, Neustar, and a company called Melbourne IT. This is basically your Five Eyes declassification publicly. Okay. Not basically, it actually is. And so it's crazy, but this apparatus of spying is utilized by all the intelligence agencies worldwide, except for Russia. Russia has stepped out of it, so they're pretty smartly as well. But yes, yeah, spying on 6.5 billion persons worldwide is absolutely insane. And so Snowden did not reveal this, but he had to have known, because what I've found out through my additional research is that New STAR has actually been in place since well before 2001, controlling the White House. They took it over on 9/11. So they took over control of the DNS, which is basically all records. They can listen, spy, know that everything that's happening through these records and through the phones.
Would you say that was the whole point of 9/11? That was the when that was transition was happening, and that was like a cover up, or the way that it happened?
Yeah, I would say absolutely, because once you come to terms with just how much our data is worth, and when you come to terms with the fact that they had become so comfortable with what they were getting away with communist China, that they kind of were using China as the test phase, right? To see, okay, can we really manipulate the minds of the people using technology? And you absolutely can. So we're at this place now where a lot of people think we have the ability to wait till 2024. We do not. We will never have another free and fair election until we rectify this certificate authority issue, and until we get rid of Ericsson running numbers portability for our country. Mm. So it's that serious.
Yes, well, clearly, yes. And okay, because I know I had interrupted you with another question when you were in the middle talking about the election and with Donald Trump. And was there more that you had to say on that?
So with the election, so when you're trying to understand how could he have won, right? Yeah. And then lost in 2018, and then lost in 2020, and then again lose in 2022. Well, when you look at just look at New STAR, what you find is that 2 weeks before, or no, three months before the 2016 election, when they attempted to do this theft of the election for real, that's when Rogers cuts off the upstream data just a few months before. What that causes is them to basically leak 190 million voter registration files through New STAR's forward traffic protocol. And what that was reported on The Hill, actually, the Hill newspaper. But they also covered a bunch of other things on this very same day, and basically lit it up as disinformation. Russian disinformation. So you come to find out they stopped this ability, and Trump really just hustled and worked his ass off, excuse my language, worked very hard going from place to place. I mean, if you remember how many speeches he did, it was like,
yes,
almost like it might have been a speech a day.
It was crazy. I remember that.
And all those rallies were like to bring the people together and to make sure that enough people voted in just the right districts to actually win the election. But it wasn't until after the 2016 election that they went into overdrive to try to cover up for all the crimes they'd committed through the executive office throughout the years, all the way going back to, again, 2001, even back to 1996. So to answer your question with regard to New STAR, 2018 midterms, 2 weeks before they take place, New STAR purchases VeriSign. So when you go to put an internet domain on the internet, you have to go through this process by which you're basically, you know, assigning the IP address, and ICANN does that, and you're using essentially systems that are bought and paid for by New STAR to basically go from the beginning process to what should have stopped at the very end process, the signature process, which is taken over by VeriSign. But 2 weeks before the United States election midterms, you have New STAR purchasing VeriSign's security services portfolio, which gives them access to complete front end and back end of the majority of top level domains in the internet, which allowed them to take the house, which allowed them to open up several investigations, and basically utilize the Mueller investigation as a cover up while subpoenaing almost everybody under the sun to block and tackle and basically disable Donald Trump's ability to be an effective president, due to the fact that what they were doing was so illegal. But 2020, you have Neustar purchasing on the day before the United States election, all of VeriSign's security services. So if you can imagine, now Neustar owns all of the front end aspect of the internet and the back end signature verification. And because Obama removes oversight, now you have no way to verify whether, you know, Russians hacked the election or